Good morning, everybody. Let's try this side over here. Let's try this side. Good morning, everybody. There we go. And now, do you think moms and dads will be louder? Hey, do you think moms and dads will be louder? I think so. Should we give them a chance? All right, let's try. Good morning, everybody else. Whoa! Okay, now you have all the permission in the world to make lots of noise at night, okay? All right. Awesome. Well, tonight, not now. All right. Well, it's such a privilege to be here this morning, and it is awesome. And so, boys and girls, I want you guys to have a look at me and listen, and moms and dads also settle down and listen. I'm joking. All right. And we're going to have an awesome service today. And I am just so grateful that we get to be a part of a church that is passionate about the next gen, that we are big on the next gen. And so from the outset, a massive thank you to Pastor Barbie and Pastor Pedro, who's in Malpois this morning, for allowing us the space to be kids, allowing us the space to be big on kids. It's their hearts that we get to be a part of. So thank you so much. And a massive thank you. I've stole this cup from our kitchen earlier today. I don't know who, I found out it's Joe's cup actually, but I stole it. I'm going to keep it. It says there, it takes a big heart to shape little minds. It takes a big heart to shape little minds. And I want to give a massive shout out to every single Edge Kids team leader, every Edge Kids leader that give up their Fridays and Sundays and Saturdays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And so if you are a part of our Edge Kids team, unless you have kids like all over you, just can you just stand? Our Edge Kids team, can you just stand up? Can you just stand up wherever you are, sitting anywhere? All right. And moms and dads, can you give it up for our kids leaders? You guys are absolutely amazing. I get to wear the title of kids pastor, and so we're going to take a seat over here. There we go. You can be seated. Awesome. We'll pray. All right. Every Sunday. And so I get the privilege of wearing the title Kids Pastor, but it does not come without an incredible team. And so I want to say thank you. Thank you for investing your lives in every single one of our children, because they absolutely love you. And so this morning, we're going to have some fun. We've already had some fun. We have some amazing singers this morning. They were so good. And we've had Lola and Zach, and we're going to have some more surprises a little later. But it's absolutely amazing. And so I want to say thank you to the moms and dads. Every single one of you who bring your kids every Sunday. I know there's sometimes a fight. Shh. All right. I know sometimes there's a fight and they're like, but mom, we want to come to the 10:30 service. And you're like, no, but we want to go to the beach and have an early day. And they're like, I don't want to go to the 8:30 service because my leader's in the 10:30 service. And they're fighting with you. And then sometimes your kids come to 8:30 and our 8:30 are like, whoa, who are these kids? And because they have different teams. But thank you for bringing them. Thank you for reading with them. Thank you for helping them make an Advent calendar that wraps 25 times. And you're like, pray, hate me. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for investing your time in your kids. And I know that at the end of the day, we do our part as a church. We do our part. And as parents, you do your part. And it's not separate. We work together. We're a partnership. Working together to make sure that your kids have the best chance of growing up, loving God, serving God, and doing everything He's called them to do. And so Christmas season has started, and we can all relate to that Christmas carol that goes, it's the most... What is it? It's meant to be that, but unfortunately, it's the most stressful time of the year, because how often are we stressing during Christmas? I mean, we're stressing for the service at like one stage, 20 past, there's like 5 kids here. We're like, sure, where are the rest of the kids? But we stress, and you know, you're worried, who's going to buy the leg of lamb? Is it the in-laws or you? Who's going to cook it? Who's going to, what fights? Which family members are coming over? And you know, there's like, it's crazy. There's stress, there's all the deadlines. But for kids, it's not stressful at all. It's holidays. And then some schools are awesome. They end school even earlier, and then that adds stress to your life because you don't have babysitters for them during that time. But I love it because I grew up, and every Christmas morning, we had to wait until 11 o'clock before we could open presents. 11 o'clock in the morning, we had to wait for my grandpa. His name was Papa. I don't know what his name was, but we called him Papa. And we had to wait for Papa to come, and he lived in Pinelands. And we were like, wish there was Uber back in those days to like bring him closer. And as soon as he came, we could open presents. And we'd unwrap the presents, and we'd be excited. But while waiting, we kind of like open a box, pick up a box. And we're like, what is it? It's heavy. Who's ever done it before? You kind of lift up, you kind of shake it a little bit, and you're like, it's not making any noise. So you shake a little harder. It's still not making noise. And you shake really hard, and you hear smash. And you put it down behind the tree, and you go back to your room, and you're like, it was Matthew, it wasn't me. All right. But you know what? Christmas time is such a joyful time. And it's the most wonderful time of the year. And that's what Advent is all about. For us to get our hearts ready. For us to be excited for what God's done. And the fact that he sent his son Jesus to be with us. And I love the message that Lola and Lolo gave us. About the fact that God gave us his word. He's with us every single day. But there's no point just having a Bible. Okay, we need to kind of understand the Bible. And there's a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 to 17. It says this. Everything in the scripture is God's word. All of it is useful for teaching and helping people and for correcting them and showing them how to live. The scripture trained God's servants to do all kinds of good deeds. And you see, if we had to read God's word, we'd be trained up. We'd be told, how can we live our life? Well, God will give us ideas of how we can change the world. But you know what? There's no point just having the Bible. We need to be able to read the Bible and we need to understand the Bible. So in order for me to talk a bit about kind of understanding God speaking to us, I need some help this morning. And so I need someone to help me on stage this morning. So who is a very energetic, you're very fast, all right? And you're very, 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 very fast, all right? And your mom and dad has to be here, okay? Oh, all right. Are we going to choose you? All right, come here. All right, come here. What's your little name? Caitlin, come, Caitlin. I saw, where's Pam and Edward? Are they here somewhere? Oh, where's Edward? Is he here? I'm sure I saw him earlier. No, all right. Oh, there he is, Edward. It is Caitlin's Edward. Yes. No, this is your Caitlin. Yes, it is. Okay, I thought so. All right, Edward, we need you on stage as well. I'm like, me and names don't go well, but I know this one. All right. So Edward's going to help us and Caitlin's going to help us. Come stand here, Caitlin. All right. So what is, how old are you?
I'm 6 years old.
Oh, you're 6 years old. That's fantastic. And what do you want for Christmas?
Painting.
You want it? Ooh, Lola and Lola selling their painting. There we go. All right, Edward, and tell us how many other kids, how many kids do you have?
Two kids.
Two kids, awesome. And two daughters, eh? All right, so for our Bible story this morning, I've got my Bible here, and we are going to read from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, okay? And so, here's the story. You have to help me. Can you help me today? Have you got to run? You have to run a lot, eh? All right, here we go. So this is the story from 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says this. Well, it says the boy Samuel, but we'll just like the girl Samuel. Like, yeah. All right. I'll just say the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak he could hardly see. So can you show us how blind you are? Come on, walk around a little bit. All right. He could hardly see. Was laying down in his usual place. So you can go lie down on the bench over there. Take a nap. All right. Here we go. Edward's going to take a little nap there. Eli. All right. So Eli, whose eyes were becoming weak, he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Samuel was lying down in the front of the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. So you can come sit over here. All right. You can sit over. You can lie there and sleep. All right. And sleep. All right. You have permission to sleep during the sermon. All right. No one else. Okay. So this is the story. It says that then the Lord called out to Samuel. He's like, Samuel. But then I wonder, like, if God had to call you, how would he call you? Would he call you like an angry parent? Like, Daniel, you know, and like you get like afraid and stuff. Or more like a loving wife. Like when Leandry calls Dan, like, Daniel. Or sometimes I think it's the other way around. Daniel. Rachel's sleeping, no longer. All right, so he calls Samuel, and Samuel wakes up. Wake up, Samuel. All right, there we go. And Samuel runs over to Eli. Run over to Eli. Come run. All right, Eli's modeling you. All right, are you running? Check it out. You saw Rory with the camera earlier, all right. And he runs over to Eli, and he says,
here I am.
Here I am.
And Eli wakes up from his slumber. Wake up, wake up. And Eli says,
I didn't call you.
Go back to bed. All right. Go back to bed. Run back. All right. So Samuel goes back to sleep. The Bible again says that the Lord called out, Samuel. So Samuel woke up. Samuel woke up, ran over to Eli. Ran over to Eli. And said to Eli,
here I am.
And Eli woke up from his slumber yet again, like most parents do, all right, when their children are having nightmares, and says,
I didn't call you. Go back to bed.
And she runs back to bed. And a third time, the Bible says that the Lord called out to Samuel, Samuel! And Samuel woke up, ran over to Eli, and said, Eli, here I am.
Eli, here I am.
And Eli woke up and realized that maybe God was speaking to Samuel. So this time, the Lord, Eli said to Samuel, let me read the Bible, not my mind. So then Eli realized that the Lord was calling Samuel. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to his place. Go back to bed. All right. And then just like it did before, the Lord cried out, Samuel, Samuel. And this time Samuel replied,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Your servant is listening.
Your servant is listening.
And then, come on. And God spoke to Samuel. And this is what the Bible says. The Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. It's a cool word in the Bible. Make your ear tingle. And then it continues with a bit of a doom and gloom message, so we won't read that. But give it up for our Samuel this morning. Good job, there we go, Caitlin. And Eli, thank you, Eli. You guys can take your seat. You guys can take your seat. And I love this story because it's a story where God speaks to a young person. All right, boys, I'm going to ask you guys to take a seat in front here. There we go. You guys can move up so you can see me if you want. There we go. All right. But there's three things that we learn from the life of Samuel and three things we learn from the life of Eli. And I'd like to go over that this morning. And if you're not a parent, this isn't your time to zone out. This is applicable to you too. So the first three things about Samuel, it says this, that spend time in God's house. No matter how young you are, commit your ways to God and be in his presence. I encourage you that no matter how young you are, whether you like 10 months old and crawling around in Edge Kids, or you're 13, or maybe you're 103, whatever it is, I encourage you, let's commit our lives to God, to be in his presence, to be in his house. Because when we gather together, God speaks to us in unison. And I encourage you to be here. Don't miss out. So no matter how young you are, commit your ways to God. The second one is this. It says that listen to people who have a relationship with God and who can help you understand his voice. So we all got leaders in our church. And if you're not in a life group, let me encourage you. Join a life group. Surround yourself with people who know God's word. You know, sometimes we read the Bible, and not sometimes, most times, we read the Bible and we're like, what does that even mean? Like, if you're reading through from Genesis all the way to Revelations, most people stop in Leviticus because you're like, I'm so confused right now. Anyone else over there? All right, you just skip over those ones. But you know what? Sometimes we have to ask people, hey, listen, I read this verse and I don't know what it means. And so we get to ask our leaders. We get to ask our friends. And if you it's so difficult coming to church and being by yourself. It's so difficult being part of church and trying to do this Christian walk when you're just by yourself. So surround yourself with people who know God's word and are able to help you understand it. And the third one was this. Go do what God has called you to do, no matter how scary it is. You see, Samuel was spoken to by God. He was a little kid. And God said, I want you to go do this, this, and this. And it was scary. Could you imagine having to go out and speak to many people about what God wants to do? Would you do it? Or would you be afraid? Would you be nervous? Hey, would you guys be nervous? I'd be nervous, all right. And here's the deal. We have to go out. God speaks to us through his word. And he encourages us to do things that we need to go and do it. Maybe God's spoken to you about your lifestyle. Maybe God say, hey, enough being a Sunday Christian, let's be a Monday Christian too. Or maybe he's spoken to you about actually being committed to his calling. Maybe he's spoken to you about actually taking on that job that you're too scared to take on. And you're like, but I'm not good enough, I can't do it. And you feel God saying, hey, go do it. I encourage every single one of us, no matter how young or old we are, let's go do what we've been called to do. And the three things from Eli's life is this. The first one is this. Let's create space for kids to grow up in God's house and his presence. Now, we do that, and I love it. We've got amazing facilities. We've got the best leaders ever. So we're creating that. But wherever we go, let's create a space in your homes. Let's create a space where in your classroom, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're an aftercare teacher, maybe you do, I don't know what you do, but create a space where kids can grow up. Maybe you don't have kids of your own, but why don't you create an environment where kids feel comfortable to come in to connect and come in to love you? And so make sure we create that space. Number two is this. No matter where you are on your journey with God, help others identify God's voice. You see, Eli, his family was a bit messed up, all right? And he didn't have the greatest situation going on. Yet, you know, for many people, that might disqualify us. We might think, well, you know, if I read the Bible and the type of person God's looking for, like, I don't know if I'm, like, the right person to do this. But if I look throughout the Bible, God doesn't disqualify anybody as long as they're willing. And so I encourage every single one of us, let your life be used by God in incredible ways. Even if you came to know God, like, yesterday, God still has a plan for you to impact the lives of the next generation. I get to be involved with our seniors, okay? Kids and seniors. It's like the beginning and end. I love it, okay? And I absolutely love them. And you know what? My life, I haven't gone through what they've gone through, yet I'm able to minister to them. And I, even in my limited life compared to theirs, I'm able to love them and lead them. And you guys get to the same with every generation. And so don't think that your life is too far from God to be able to help others. And the third one from Eli's life was this. Help others to hear God and equip them to act on it. So if your kids come up to you and say, hey, listen, I want to do something crazy. So in the first service, Luke spoke about how he started a Bible study group with his grade six friends. At school, he went there and said, hey, guys, bring your Bible to school. We're going to read the Bible together. And like his parents are like, hey, okay, this is hectic. And they're worried, but they land up equipping him, helping him so he could go do that. If your kids come up with crazy ideas and they want to do stuff for God, don't discourage them, but encourage them. Say, how can I help you to do what God's called you to do? And when they fail, because everybody fails in life, there's a learnings. Help them get through it. Encourage them to get up again. And don't let them be worried. Don't let them be worried about what happened. And so for parents, I speak to obviously loads of parents. That's my job, all right? And I love hearing what some parents do to create space for their kids. I love hearing the stories. I love hearing the ideas and things that I wish like our family did when I grew up. And so the one thing is that we give out every single month is a parent cue. It's an A4 page with the different Bible stories from our ministries that you can take them every single month and you can actually read those stories together. So sometimes your kids come up to you and say, hey, we spoke about a fish today. And you're like, which one was it? Was it the five fish? Was it the big fish? Was it like the ocean? I don't know. And we don't know what they speak about sometimes, okay? But this parent cue helps you, gives you questions that you can ask them, helps you understand the story so you can explain to them in a different way. And my challenge is, why don't you read it as a family before you come on a Sunday? So they understand the story. So when they come, they can put up their hand saying, I know the story. You don't have to tell us, okay? But I encourage you to do that. The second one is this. Let's have family's time around the dinner table together. I grew up where we had dinner together, but it was by the TV. And so we had our trays and, you know, we'd be talking for a little bit and then 7 o'clock news would come on and then chips still. And we'd be eating, listening to the news. No idea what's happening around the world, but eating. And then adverts would come on, we'd chat quickly and then we eat again. But I can encourage you, if you don't do it, at least once a week, start off with that. Why don't you sit around the table, all the media off, load shedding is a good friend for us sometimes, okay? And just spend some time. And they might be bouncing and take some time to get there. And you think, Ryan, I have like a two-year-old. Like, how do you do that? I don't know. I don't have a two-year-old. But I would encourage you. I know you have to get home, bath them, feed them, bed them, and put them. And then they're like baby Jesus wrapped up in a bed. But I encourage you, start the process. Let them see mom and dad sitting down together without distractions, reading the word together. And it leads to my third one, which is the Bible. We've given out over 1,500 Bibles this year as a church. You've given out, every single one of us. We've given out over 1,500 Bibles so that every home that we connect with can have the Word of God. But can I encourage you? Use it. Sit around the table. Try to find the same translation that you guys can use and kind of those two-in-one type of situations where they have to do some English reading. So you can open up the Bible and say, all right, you read verse 1, you read verse 2, I'll read verse 3, and you can read the Bible together. And how cool would those conversations be? If they say, hey, listen, this little boy gave the little bit of lunch he had so Jesus could use it. And you ask those questions. So what does this mean to us as a family? And I encourage us, even if you don't have kids, why don't you try to do that? I don't know what you can do. I'm sorry. But you can find kids and you can do it with them. I'm kidding. But if you don't have kids, all right? What do you do if you don't have kids? I don't know. All right, go join our family. All right. But if you don't have kids, I encourage you. Maybe you've got older kids. Maybe they've left the house. Every Christmas is coming up. Why don't you insist that at Christmas, we're going to take a moment before we eat. All right? We're going to take some time just to stop and read a portion of Scripture and read together as a family. And so I grew up in a home where my parents didn't come to church. So we didn't do this type of stuff. So the three things I can encourage you guys, maybe sitting in front, if your parents don't come to church, is this. Number one, keep coming to church. You keep coming. You lead the way. Your parents are meant to bring you, but you bring them. You come and invite them to church. Invite them to experience what it's all about. The second one is this. Keep reading the Word of God. Don't stop. Read it. If you don't understand it, ask your parents. Your parents want to learn and help you. So if they can't help you, then the third thing is this. Allow God to surround you with loving Christian families. We had a family that lived across the road from us, Uncle Jan and Auntie Mavis, all right? And when we moved next door to them, they invited me to their church and I went with them. Eventually spent every single Sunday afternoon having Sunday lunch with them. Got to eat all the lekker Afrikaans food that I never ate growing up. It was great. But you know what? They taught me about the Bible. They taught me about Christian music. They taught me about godly values. And so I encourage you, if you don't have that, why don't you ask God to give you a Christian family who can help that? And that's where us as a congregation get to invite some of our friends, our kids' friends, to join us for lunch. So this Christmas, as we reflect that God is with us, He was in our past, He's in our present, He's in our future, and He's with us always. We can be comforted to know that His Word is always with us. That as we read it, we can see how He provided in years before, and we know that He can provide in years to come. And we can see how He's worked in the past, He can work in the future. But maybe for you, that 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, maybe that verse stood out for you. The verse that said this, "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." Maybe for you, you're sitting here today and you haven't heard God speak. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God. Maybe you do have a relationship, but you haven't heard God speak. I want to encourage us. Let's ask God for a passion to read His word, a passion to understand it. As we go home today, we spend time even reading this story read today. Maybe it will ignite something in your heart. So I'm not too sure who invited you to church today. Maybe one of your kids invited you and said, "Hey, I'm seeing you on stage. Would you come?" And you wanted to support them. So you take some photos and be there for them. But you don't have a relationship with God. I would encourage you, every single one of us, that we're going to take some time today and pray and ask God to come into our hearts. And maybe you can start the relationship with Him. And the second group of people is this. Maybe you've been in church for years. Maybe you've sung songs about God, but you don't know God personally, right? That was the first group. Second group is this. You do know God, but you've lost your passion for the Word. Life's got too busy. Life's got so crazy that you get home, you're so busy, too tired. And I'm going to pray that God would give you a renewed passion to read His Word, all right? And I want to then pray for our parents. I know that parents are going through some hectic stuff. I know sometimes that you bring them to church, kids, and you just pray, "Okay, cool, man, this church service lasts 3 hours. So I don't have to take them." All right? But it's tough. But I'm going to pray that God, right now, wherever you're sitting, if that's you, God knows you. God knows your heart. And He says, "I'm with you." In the midst of it all, when things are so tough, He says, "I've got you. You are good enough. You're doing your best. That's all I've asked you to do. And I've got your back." And so let's pray this morning. I'm going to ask all the boys and girls in front, bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to pray. So Lord Jesus, I firstly pray for the God, for those who've come to church this morning who don't know You, who don't have that personal relationship with You. And I pray for the God that right now, as they're sitting here, may their hearts be beating. And as they decide to make a commitment to follow You, God, I pray that they would say yes. And so this morning, if that is you, if you in church this morning and you're saying you want to start a relationship with God, and with everyone's eyes closed and heads bowed, we just raise your hand. So I can see who I'm praying for. Maybe I'll start a relationship with God this morning. Everybody, let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You that You love me and that You came to earth to die on a cross to pay for my sin. Today, I decide to follow You and make You the Lord and Savior of my life. And the second group of people, God, I pray for those who've been in church weekly but don't have that passion for Your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, that You'd help them, Father God, to go home today, God, and spend time reading. And as they read the Word, God, they will grow that passion, God, and that they read it and read it and read it. And as they read it, God, I pray that You speak to them, that God, you show them, that you'd encourage them, God. And then God, I pray for our parents this morning. I thank you for every single one of them who are here today, God, and those who aren't. I thank you, God, that you're doing, that you are with them in the times where they feel weak, that you are with them. When they think they got things wrong, God, I thank you that you are with them. I thank you, God, that when they feel like they don't know what to do, God, I pray that they would know that you are with them, that you are always with them. I pray for strength. I pray for grace. I pray for the God for courage to face every day, knowing that you've called them to be parents. And then, God, lastly, I thank you for our kids. I thank you for every single one of them, God. And I pray that they will continue to grow up, God, loving you, serving you. They'll grow up in our church, Father God, reading your word, Father God, serving in their communities, God. And that not one of them, Father God, would fall away from you, but every single one of them, God, would serve you for the rest of their lives, growing up, becoming leaders, eventually one day becoming parents, Father God, and continuing to disciple the next generation. So I thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on. Can we give God some praise this morning for the people who gave their life? Come on.